Peter chapter 4. Verse 7. It's at the end of your Bible. Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. Yeah? Your song is so happy. Wow, that ending was like Jude and Revelation. Wow. Mine was like, I don't remember. Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation.
What?
No, see, yours uplifts. Mine makes me excited. Yours makes me excited. Mine's like, finally, set it off. Got it done. It's important. Composition is important. 1 Peter chapter 4. Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter. It's like 6 pages from the first of Revelation. Huh? 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4. That's so slow. That will take you all day to sing the books of the Bible. Oh. Okay, no more. No more. No more. Let's all stand on our feet. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. I can't quote the Bible. Yeah, I know. Whoa, buddy. Hey, buddy. Verse 7. Yeah? Y'all got it? Okay, good. Good job. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful as we just sang that there is no height nor depth or anything else that can separate us from your love. You are so good. You are always following us. You are always with us. You are always guiding us. And we're blessed. We're blessed to be your people. Blessed to be under your protection and your shelter and your love. Please fill us with your spirit to receive all that you have for us. Speak through me exactly what you want for each and every person in this room. And I pray that each of us would take something away, maybe that we haven't learned before, or that we haven't quite realized or surrendered about ourselves, and that we would really apply that to our lives. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. So it feels like for me, that it's been a long time since we've been together to study God's Word. But like, it hasn't at all. Technically, we haven't even missed one Wednesday. It was just one Sunday. But it feels like it's been a while. Anybody else? Kinda, yeah, it kinda feels, yeah. So, okay, so if you're like me and you're feeling like it's been a really long time, let me catch you up to where we are. So we've been looking at the church for a few weeks now in our study, Jesus jargon, chavurch, yes. I really need a figure spell check out. And so far we've looked at the Christians, the fellowship, and the worship. And we've, you know, slowed it down, looking at those things in depth. Specifically, though, how they apply to the church, how they apply to the gathering of saints. Now, today we're going to look at an aspect of church that is super important, just as important as fellowship and worship, but it can sometimes be overlooked, and that is serving within the church. In our passage today, Peter uses the word minister to talk about serving, a word that we've all heard and probably used before. And what it means is to serve someone who is greater than you. So a minister is basically a slave or a servant, someone
who serves someone who is above them, greater than them, like more important than them. And that's what we are called to do, to serve God who is greater than us, but to also take the position within the body of Christ, the family of Christ, of being the minister, being someone who serves the body of Christ, which is greater than ourselves, greater than what we are. Now we can take this definition and apply it to the definition of serve, and we get exactly what we are called to do. And that is to attend to the needs of someone who is greater than you. That's what it means to serve. So when we talk about serving tonight, that is the definition. To attend to the needs of someone who is greater than you. To take the place of a servant. And Peter tells us that this is what we're supposed to do for the church. We are supposed to attend to the needs of someone who is greater than us, both God and the body, the family of Christ. He tells us why in verses 7 through 8 of our passage. Look at it with me. He says, "The end of the world is coming. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers." What he's saying is, the day of the Lord is at hand. We as Christians could be raptured at any point in time and enter into eternity. And so he's saying, it's about time that we start living like it. It's about time that we start just thinking about the Lord returning, but we start acting like the Lord is returning. Like he could come and rapture us at any point in time. So he's saying it's time to start living like it, because it is. This is the moment that we're in, where the Lord could rapture, could call us home into eternity at any point in time. And then in verse 8 he says, "Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other." We are going to spend an eternity with every single Christian. Every person who has asked Jesus into their heart, you're going to be spending eternity with them. Even the ones who have boogers coming out their nose. Yeah, believe it or not, they'll be with you in eternity. Probably no boogers, though, because boogers are definitely falling, right? Yeah, boogers are of the devil. But what he's saying is we better start loving those Christians that are currently around us. The Christians who are at the churches we attend. The Christians who are at the schools we attend. Start putting a love that is eternal to practice. Start practicing that, because you're going to be doing it forever. And then he says, "For love covers a multitude of sin." Now, what this is not saying is that if a church is really nice and welcoming, that you can just sin all you want and that there's going to be no punishment. But what it's saying is that when people within a church have a genuine love for one another, people's mistakes and their failures, their slip-ups, they don't become these church-wide issues. We're not like, "Oh, did you hear what that girl did at school the other day? Oh, no." And then it like spreads rumors and gossips. No, if we have real, genuine love, we're going to hear about maybe someone will come and confess a wrong to someone, and it'll stop right there. It's not going to spread. We're not going to be shocked and like, "Oh, no, what? You are sick." No, if love marks the church, it covers the multitude of sins. It covers the sins that that we deal with on a daily basis, that we battle in. And Peter says that the way we show this love to one another is by serving each other. So the physical expression of this love, the way to do it, even when you're not really feeling that like love deep down in your heart, the warm fuzzies, the way to show it, the way to display it to the church is to serve them. So we're going to look deeper into this topic of serving tonight, and we're going to do it using three main points. We're going to look at gifts, growth, and God, the three G's. Yes, I've got it. Bam! I always try to, like, you guys know, I always try to make it rhyme, and so when I, or like alliterate. So when it does, I'm like, yes, got it. So yeah, if you're taking notes, that's the way we're going to break it down, looking at gifts, growth, and God. And both of the, or not both, thrice, the thrice of these points are going to all work together to help us further understand what serving is and how to serve and really just comprehend the topic of serving. So the first thing I want to show you is that we should use our gifts to serve the church. In verse 10, Peter says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now that word gift, it's not only talking about spiritual gifts. That's what can immediately pop into our heart, our heads, as like Christians raised in the church, as we think gifts, we go, oh, spiritual gifts. But that's not all that he's talking about. Really, it's talking about any specific ability that God has given you. And he says that these abilities are manifold. What that means is that they come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. Manifold means like multicolored. It's a full spectrum, a rainbow of colors. So he's saying that these gifts we have, these abilities we have, are going to come in all sorts of different shapes, forms, appearances, abilities, whatever other word you can think of to fit in that sentence. It's going to be a whole bunch of different things and appear a whole bunch of different ways. So these gifts can be, as we're going to look at in starting Sunday, we're going to start, oh, I'm so stoked about this. Sorry, side note, we're going to start a spiritual gifts workshop because we're at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to like break them down into little things and treat it like you would a workshop, because Paul says like desire the best gifts. So we are going to treat it not just like looking into a fish tank of spiritual gifts, but more like trying to like try them on and see what fits, see what is like, sorry, I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be cool. So, okay, back to what we're talking about. So they can be the gift of knowledge or prophecy, speaking in tongues, discernment, interpretation of tongues, but it can also be things like art or planning. Some of you are planners, and maybe you don't know this, but like that's a gift that not everybody has. I don't have that. But some of you, you get told what to do, like you get an assignment and you pull out your like daily planner. I'm like, what is that thing? You pull that out and you like write down and plan out your days and your weeks, and that's a gift that not everybody has. Some people have that. I personally do not have that, unfortunately, but I really try. I try, but I don't. Peter mentions that it can be the art of making people feel comfortable. Hospitality. That's a gift. That is a gift from God. Hospitality is incredible. And it's not just welcoming people into your home, but you can be hospitable at church. Someone who looks like they feel uncomfortable, and then you go and make them feel comfortable. You have the gift of hospitality in that case. Also a gift that I don't really have, but I try. I try my best. Maybe you're really good at taking stuff apart. Like when someone says demolition, you grab a sledgehammer and you're already there with like a hard hat and like safety goggles. Come on, let's tear this stuff up. Or maybe you're really good at putting stuff together. So after that person with the like hard hat and the sledgehammer came in and tore stuff up, you're right there ready to put something together, make something new. Like you're all about the Lego life. Also, not a gift that I have. It's a bummer. I try to put stuff together, but I have to like stick to the instructions like nobody's business. But some of you can probably like come off the instructions and still make it correctly. Not me. That's not me, unfortunately. So Peter tells us that God has made us stewards or managers of these gifts: music, art, organization, administration, leading people, submitting to people, being led by people, dancing, rhythm, and blues. Like, the list goes on. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's more than just spiritual things, but it enters into the physical world. And this is how we have to think of the abilities and gifts that God has given us. He's made us managers over these gifts. And as managers of these gifts, we are responsible for putting them to good use. It's our job to make sure that the ability that God's given us to plan something or to like really take good pictures on our iPhone, that's something that you can put to good use for God. Or you cannot. You cannot put it to good use for God. You could use it for yourself. And we see people do this all over the place. Literally all over the place. Now, what's interesting about this is when it comes to serving in the church and also looking at ministries, I cannot tell you how often people come up to me and ask, like, hey, why don't we have a specific ministry? You know, fill in the blank. Like, so maybe something's on their heart. And they come up to me and they're like, hey, so why don't we have a ... ministry? And then they get upset because we don't have it. But always my response when someone says that is, if someone had the giftings, if someone was like raised up by the Lord, had the gifting and the calling, there was a like a passage put on their heart, and they had the gifting to put that ministry into place, it would be done. The reason it's probably not done right now at the church is no one has the gifting. So people will come up to me and they're like, hey, why don't we have like an outdoor ministry? And I'm like, really? You're going to ask me why we don't have an outdoor ministry. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's not the gift that I have. But if somebody else came and said, hey, why don't we try to get an outdoor ministry going? I may not go, depending on if it's raining or something. But it could happen. It could be something put in place. People are like, hey, we go to cabins all the time. Why don't we tent camp? And I'm like, really? You're asking me why we don't tent camp? Like, or people will be like, hey, why don't we have like video games at our like a video game ministry or something? And I'm like, do I look like I've ever played a video game? And so the point is, people think there's like this unspoken rule of like church offers ministries and you have to be happy with them, and you can't offer any input, you can't do this, you can't do that. And the reason that's an unspoken rule is because it's not a rule at all. It's not at all. If you have something on your heart and desire to see it come into place, you could go to the church front office. You could talk to me, talk to a pastor, a church leader, and say, hey, I'd really like to organize like a fishing trip and get people going on that. And that's something that has happened. Hey, I'd really like a consistent like biking ministry where people just ride bikes. And I'm like, okay, I don't know about that, but if you think that's a thing, let's do it. Let's go for it. Let's go hard for it. Abide, an event that is still going on right now, was planned by junior hires for junior hires. And years later, it's still continuing. They're like graduated and old and stuff now, but that ministry still happens. It still goes on. And it was planned by junior hires in junior high, attending junior high. And so the gifts that God has given you, there's such a broad spectrum. They're manifold, multicolored. Some are bold, some are like very small. Some of you are like, I don't know about being on stage, but I like tech and stuff and like fixing stuff and doing that and like being on websites. That's incredible. And instead of just saying, why don't we have that? Why don't you pray and ask the Lord and say, maybe the Lord would have me do that for a specific ministry. Or maybe I could work with a pastor or a leader and try to get that ministry organized. Or maybe you look at Thrive Junior High and you're like, this place is chaotic. It needs some organization. You're not going to really get that from me. But if somebody wants to help me out with that, it can happen. It can be there. It can be put in place. So serve the Lord with the gifts that you have and step out. Step out in faith. And that brings us to our second point. Growth. Yes. You like that fishing trip idea? I know. Dude, I went on... No. It's the manifold gifts of God. I went on one of those fishing trips and I was... So we departed. We went under the Golden Gate Bridge. And as soon as we got out of the Golden Gate Bridge, I was barfing. From that point to the time that we touched the ground and I like crawled out on my hands and knees, me and Scott Vanderdusen were both green the whole time. And we crawled onto the ground and kissed it. Like, I kissed ground. I'm not even ashamed. Because of how much I loved that ground when I touched it, I kissed it. And so the whole fishing ministry to me... Rafting trip, yes! But the point is, instead of in the Grand Canyon, yes! Dream big, I love it! Then we need someone with the gift of like scaling down to go, maybe not the Grand Canyon, but maybe we could, you know, ba-da-da-ba-ba. Yes, see, this is what I'm talking about. Instead of, so often we just go, I wish the church did this, or I wish someone at my school was doing this, then I could really be bold in my faith. But maybe the reason you have that desire on your heart is because it's your gift, and because you are able to step forward and do it. So that was a huge rant that I kind of wanted to go on, but didn't mean it to be that big. So let's look at growth right now. One of the most important things that comes from serving in the body of Christ, serving the church, with the gifts that God has given you is growth. You will grow when you use the gifts God has given you in a practical, beneficial way to the body of Christ. James tells us that we need works. We need action for our faith to further develop. If you are not putting some pedal to the metal on your faith, it's not going to grow deeper. It's not going to grow further in understanding of what God has done for you and how to put your faith in who you are deeper in Him. I love what Pastor Damien says about this. He says so blatantly, you cannot mature as a Christian without serving. That should wreck some of us. If you are not serving, then you cannot mature in your walk with God. There's no other circle that you can draw. Yes, you can know the Bible more. You can grow deeper in your love and understanding of Him. But until you're getting pushed a little outside of your comfort zone, trying to take on things that seem out of control, like a 3-year-old class on Sunday morning, until you're doing that and sacrificing yourself and getting out in that way, you're not going to really experience Christian maturity. You're not going to develop in that way that God so desires you to develop. So once we identify the gifts that God has given us, we need to put them to work so that we can grow, so that we can grow deeper in Him and deeper in maturity. And that goes for you guys too. You are not too young to start serving God in a huge way. And I know, I remember being in junior high feeling like, what are people going to think if I'm like, hey, I want to show up early and like dust, which that is not my gift also. But if someone has that on their heart or says, hey, I want to just get together and paint, like Christians come together and paint, or like I want to get together and figure out some new nail polish designs. Yeah? No? I try. I don't know. I've never painted a nail. But you know what I'm saying. You're picking up what I'm putting down. So, as a matter of fact, you should be serving the Lord in a huge way right now. There's no reason that you can't. Yes, you could tell yourself, I'm too young, I'm too small, I don't know the Bible well enough. If you tell yourself things like that, that will always be the truth. You will never know the Bible well enough if you're going to keep telling yourself that. And I'm not saying that you can't get to a point, but if that's what you tell yourself, you'll never get out of that rut. If you say, I'm not big enough, people don't look after me enough, they don't look up to you enough, you'll never get to a point where people are looking up to you and submitting to your spiritual leadership because you're not taking that step forward. So, once again, I highly encourage you in junior high, with the spiritual abilities and knowledge that you have right now, step out. Use the gifts that God has given you. Be that manager of those gifts to their greatest potential. See that they are put to their greatest work. Now, we'll close looking at God. And this is the most important part. That's why we close looking at God, of course. Verse 11, Peter says that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. When we come back to the root of things, we serve to please God and to thank Jesus for the sacrifice that He made for us on the cross and the freedom that He has now given us as a result of what He accomplished on the cross. Now, one beautiful thing about this is that Jesus has already taken us as we are. Jesus has taken us as we are, and so we have no need to work, no need to earn His acceptance. There's nothing we can do really good that's going to make Jesus accept us any more than He already has. We've been given it. It's been offered to us 110%, even beyond that, and so it should remove any stress or any weight or anxiety that we have when it comes to serving the Lord. It really should remove any stress or anxiety that we have, but that's tough. That's tough. We're taking baby steps, you know. But on the other hand, when you realize all that God has done for you, All that Jesus has accomplished for you, all that he endured on the cross so that you could have access to his Father and access to him and presence daily with the Holy Spirit inside of you. When we see all that they have done for us, the Trinity, all that they did for us, you should have this deep, undeniable desire to use the gifts and passions that God has given you to their greatest potential. You know, we look at like pop music artists who, you know, obviously certain ones we can debate because of auto-tune and whatnot, but a lot of them are very good musicians or very good vocalists. But when you boil it down, they're doing that for themselves, or maybe they're doing it to be noticed by someone or to, you know, for something else that they might believe. But we as Christians have God, Jesus, who gave his life for us to do amazing things for him. And so instead of being like trigger shy, saying, what will people think if I want to plan this? What will people do if I decide that, you know, maybe I want to start teaching little kids and I don't even know the Bible that well? Well, if you start teaching little kids, you'll learn your Bible a lot better. Oh, yes, I'm serious. That's so good. We just need to step out. Step out in faith into what God has called you to, what he's placed a passion in your heart for, but do it unto God, who is worthy of more than anything this world can offer you, more than anything that yourself can try to steer you away from. Serve unto God, for he is worthy. And then when someone's like, whoa, that was the best idea ever, I'm so glad we put this together, or someone's like, dude, you're the best duster I've ever seen. You play Call of Duty like I've never witnessed before. Duty, get it? You can go. I'd love to take the credit for that, but it's all the Lord, and it's all to him. He is great and greatly to be praised. So as we go into small groups, we're just going to talk about serving. Talk about serving in the church. Talk about what kind of gifts you think you have. Don't think you need to keep it spiritual. If you have the gift of being somewhere on time, that's a gift that a lot of people don't have. If you have the gift of grace and mercy and helping people that need help, those are gifts that a lot of people don't naturally have. So think outside the box. Let me pray. What did I do?
We're doing the church.
Oh, no. Oopsies. Where do you serve in the church?
Okay, that makes sense.
Oops. Oopsies.
Where
duty in the church? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you desire us to serve. We don't have to live up to something that is a standard on this earth, but you want us to serve you where we are right now with the passions and the giftings and the knowledge and the abilities that we have here on planet Earth right now with us. So please guide us in our small groups. I pray that this would be a time where we dream big and say all the things that we could be doing for you right now if we would just step out in faith. So let us dream big as we go into small groups, and let us desire to take these gifts that you've put us as stewards, as managers over, and see how we can put them to the best work possible. We love you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.